He's John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. And knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but Justin Fuente pointed this out Monday, and it didn't dawn on me until he said it, but it's September 19th, it's week four, and this is the first traditional week of practice, the first normal week of practice in Blacksburg Lace?
Yeah, pretty much, although I think that the Hokies aren't necessarily still jilted by the short week. When you look back, they actually had extra prep time for Florida State, and they'll have extra prep time for this game against Old Dominion due to that impromptu bye week. So, yeah, they haven't had a traditional you play Saturday, Sunday through the following Friday and all of that. But I think that the team is fine, and talking to some of the players, they're good with it. It's just that Justin, like us, Wes, like you and me, is kind of OCD when it comes to his schedule and what he likes to do each day. But I think the team is actually less affected maybe than he is.
What do you think the unexpected bye week allowed them to do? What do you think? Just talking to Coach, what did you pick up on?
Well, I think for one, I saw Ricky Walker yesterday for the first time in a few days, and he looks 100%, and I don't think that would have necessarily been the case had you played East Carolina. So that's huge, because that obviously affects not only the top line of your defensive line, but the rotations as a whole in terms of who's there with him and then who's there behind him. So that's a huge thing for this football team. But I think more than that, it was an opportunity for Bud Foster, who wasn't exactly thrilled coming off that William and Mary game, despite the fact that you won it as big as you did, to take some of those younger guys and say, okay, you wanted to play behind some of these guys. You may have gotten a couple snaps against Florida State, but then when you got in, there were some missed assignments. Rayshard Ashby yesterday said, that was my fault on the touchdown that William and Mary scored, the second long one. That won't happen again. You have my promise there. So I think Bud, the tone I saw from him and heard from him over the last few days was one of actually got back to a camp-like grind with this defense and said, nobody's talking about you this week because you haven't done anything this week, so let's get back to it and recognize we are far from a finished product. So I think mentally hammering that home with the defense was one of the things that he was able to do. And also I think it allowed them to sort out their snapping issues. It sounds like in talking to Josh Jackson a couple of days ago that he and Zachariah Hoyt have figured out what was going on, and Zachariah's had some time to allow a dislocated pinky to heal up, and everything should be good there, he says.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear that, because that was, look, you've been around baseball long enough, watching that William and Mary game, it kind of felt like in the moment like a yips thing where he just couldn't get away from it. So at least there was some sort of physical reason behind the snap issues, because that's kind of a big deal, Lays.
Well, what was interesting was we were hearing about the physical part. Our Andrew Allegretta was doing a great job reporting on that from the sideline, and the fact that that actually happened to Zachariah down in Tallahassee, but he aggravated it early against William and Mary. So, but then on the other side, we were hearing about the mental aspect of it from the coaching staff, including on Tech Talk Live on Monday. So I think what happened was you had something that threw off the physical, and that led to mentally thinking about it a bit. So maybe the reset button was hit. Josh Jackson used the words back to being perfect again in terms of Hoyt snapping the football to him. So regardless of whether it was physical or mental, hopefully it's behind him. But yeah, you know, it's hard to imagine doing something that requires that level of finesse and skill with your hand, with one of your four fingers, obviously not at 100%.
Yeah. And hey, look, you know about this in golf and baseball. You try to overcompensate for something, you get to your head, and you're physically overcompensating. Things can really get twisted and messed up. John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Hokies have Old Dominion this Saturday. Before we get to the specifics of this matchup, what do you, after just two games, 4 weeks in, what can you say, I feel good about this team? What do you think you know about this team, Lays?
I feel like this team can stop the run, and that's obviously tantamount to success in Bud Foster's scheme. And I knew that going in, that this was probably going to be a strength of this team, because I was able to watch Rayshard Ashby patrol the middle throughout the course of camp and the way that he attacks the ball. And that's not news to prep football fans in the Richmond area, because if you go back and watch his high school tape, he has an innate ability to read fakes on where the play action may be going and who actually possesses the football. So I felt like him, along with the defensive line, would be able to bottle up the run pretty good. But what I love about this team that maybe you weren't aware of, because they were going good on good and it was on both sides of the ball, was this team is fast. And I think it's evident on both sides. You see it on the perimeter offensively when they're swinging it out to Hezekiah Grimsley and Savoy's on a jet sweep, Tarius Wheatley getting involved. And then you see it defensively, because Caleb Farley has been phenomenal in man coverage thus far. Bryce Watts is even faster, maybe than he is, and the safeties are flying around too. So, when again, it kind of hit itself a bit during camp because you had speed on both sides of the ball on your own roster, but now that you're matched up against other teams, I really think that it's starting to jump off the page exactly how fast this team is. That shouldn't be surprising because, again, you've seen Justin Fuente and company recruiting that way over the last few years, and that was the biggest thing that they've been looking for, is to be fast all over the field, and I think you're starting to see it on the field on game day.
Coverage begins at 2 o'clock from the 757. John Lazer, Mike Burnup, and Andrew Allegretto. When we come back, we'll ask Lays what he's locked in on. What does he want to see after 2 weeks of no games? What does he want to see from this team before they go into Duke and Notre Dame? We'll do that, plus Lazer's lightning round. He's John Lazer, brought to you by Cowan Gates. And John Lazer, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. And the case for Virginia Tech is there's an actual game on Saturday, 3:30, Virginia Tech going to the 757. We played the clip earlier, Lays, of Justin Fuente. Somebody asked the question about now Duke looking at being a top 25 team, Notre Dame on the horizon. And you're in the environment. There's a lot of guys who, I think it's like 24, 25 guys who get to go home and play this game this week. I don't think anybody's overlooking this opportunity.
Yeah, 14 guys directly from the 757, and to your point, about 10 or so more that are from the surrounding areas. So, yeah, it's about a quarter of the traveling crew that you're going to take down there at least that calls that area or close to that area home. So there's definitely a level of excitement about that. I saw Trayvon Hill tweeting about it last night and saying how much this game means to me. You could see it in Ricky Walker's eyes yesterday talking about it. There's a lot of pride in coming back and representing the Virginia Tech brand in an area where there's, of course, a big portion of Hokie Nation. So it's going to be fun, and one of the more fun aspects of it is the fact that it's a hard ticket because it's such a small venue. This will be the smallest stadium that the Hokies have played in since 1974 at Carey Field at William & Mary, and the first time they've played in Norfolk since 1986. So there's plenty of intrigue surrounding that aspect of it. What percentage of the crowd is going to be Hokies? What percentage of the crowd is going to be Hokies players, family and friends and all those good things? So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and ultimately it's going to be an opportunity for the Hokies to get back on the field, ideally against a team that they should be fairly overmatched against, or up against a team that is fairly overmatched against them, I should say.
Fuente would beat me with a shoe if he heard me say it this way, but I've been saying that these games, William & Mary, East Carolina, which was not played, and this game it's a tune-up. They're tune-up fights. Before you get to Duke, and I'm not overlooking Duke, and I'm cautioning people not to. Before you get to Duke, before you get to Notre Dame. So now you're down to two tune-up fights since last week got canceled. What would you like to see, after all this practicing, what would you like to see applied this Saturday?
Yeah, it's interesting that you go a bit into tune-up fights after you thought you had a marquee fight to start the season against Florida State, and maybe ultimately that won't turn out to be the case, but you definitely did in terms of the environment and the challenge that you took on. So it's interesting because you go in, you take some shots and there's some swings of your own, and then you come back and try to learn off of those. So it's different for the Hokies. I'd like to see them clean up some of the assignments and some of the checks on defense in terms of not allowing a receiver to wander out to the boundary all alone like they did against William & Mary. Some of those big-time mistakes that are big-time plays. I think for the first time, maybe we'll see the Hokies give up a few first downs. That really hasn't happened against Florida State or William & Mary. I'd like to see, however, them rise up and not allow those big plays defensively, because that, of course, has been the Achilles heel, and there has been one over the few years that I've been here, at least. And I know that's what Bud Foster would like to see as well. And I'd like to see some explosiveness on offense again. You saw it against William & Mary. I'd like to see some continuity on the offensive line. I don't think they'll shuffle as much as they were against the Tribe. And when they do that, I'd like to see them establish the run game early downs and then take some shots deep down the field, because I do think Josh Jackson, in a small sample size, has looked better throwing the football down the field vertically.
Coverage 2 o'clock right here on Fox Sports 910. You're home for Virginia Tech football. Game kicks off at 3:30. It's been a while since Virginia Tech played a game. It's been a while since we had a lightning round. Three questions for Lays. He's got three questions for me. Visitor gets to go first, my friend. First question.
Wes, last night I called soccer for the first time. I've called volleyball. This ACC Network Extra is putting me in some new spots. What's the one event that you would most like or be amused by me calling?
Horse racing. Because I had a touch of it. The races, what were they called at the squirrels games?
The bouncy horse. Yeah, what was that called? Yeah. Oh, the Richmond Derby.
Yeah, you put heart and soul into that. We were impressed not only by your sarcasm and by your quick jabs, but the passion that you put in. I would love to hear you. Hopefully, someday soon when Colonial Downs opens back up, we get you up in the booth because I would love to hear you drop it down the stretch they come. Actually, you would be best in the back stretch when they're just back and forth.
Yeah, just take over there around the final turn.
That'd be great. Yeah, you horse racing. All right. All right. Lays, we were talking about weather a lot last week. What weather do you fear?
Well, I guess growing up where I did, tornadoes would be that. Although with that said, when I was a child, there would always be warnings to go down to the basement, and I never would. And I'd say snarky things to my mom like, "Mom, if this is the way I go out, then I guess it was meant to be," and she would get all mad. Hurricanes, I think, obviously are scary in so many ways because of the aftermath. But an earthquake, because I've only experienced that small one that shuddered in Virginia a little bit, what, about 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years.
But I've never actually experienced, you know, a higher one on the Richter scale, and I think that would scare me pretty good. Wes, why can't the Eagles ever do what they're supposed to do, as in go down in the NFC Championship game last year and not ruin my wife's birthday for two consecutive years when I throw a gathering, as I did last year and they lost, and as I did this year and they laid an egg?
I'm guessing this is all you've heard about for the past 3 days in your house.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was a great party. I had an Eagles cake.
Welcome to marriage, buddy.
No, I'm saying she was fine. The Eagles were not.
Yeah, but when they're not, she's not. I know her long enough. Lays, my question to you, would you ever try mayo chup?
What is that?
You didn't see this yesterday? Heinz came out. They've bottled mayonnaise mixed with ketchup, and they've actually put it on shelves.
Well, I don't like ketchup, so the answer to that is absolutely not. However, I did later in life develop a taste for mayo. I always thought I hated it and I liked it, but no, I'm not giving that a try. Wes, have you ever thought about retiring mid-show?
Yeah, there's been a couple shows around here.
This week.
Yeah, no, not this week. We've had a producer change here. We've had some good producers the past couple of years, but back in the day, you know some of the rejects that we got in here. Yeah, there's been a couple times. Come on. You knew some of the people that some of
those
the
were
minions.
My friends.
We've had some good runs here with Paulie V and now Danny, but some of the minions that they used to hire, yeah, I thought about a couple times. Just if you ever get to Google it, there's a radio woman, I think out of Hampton, who quit her show mid-shift, and just it goes, "I quit this B-word." YouTube it and hear her delivery. As someone who's worked in radio, you'll love it. She quit right in the middle of her show.
Dan Zangrilli from the West Virginia IMG Sports Network quit mid-game in the Eastern League back when he was in Altoona. Just walked out to get dinner and never came back.
There are some days, Lays. There are some days. Have a great call Saturday, buddy.